Hello and welcome to Customer Engagement 101, a podcast brought to you by Upshot.ai. In today's episode, we have a duo ready to dive into the world of personalization. Firstly, let's welcome our host, Kaustubh Dwivedi, an expert marketer with a knack for building lasting customer relationships. And joining him today is Krishna Chaitanya Swarna, or KC as we like to call him, the engagement expert at Upshot.ai, renowned for his mastery of personalized customer experiences. Together, Kaustubh and KC will unravel the significance of personalization and its impact on customer experiences. Welcome to the show, Kaustubh and KC. Let's get started.
So thank you, KC, for coming to another podcast with us. Could you explain to our audiences what does personalization mean?
Yeah, sure, Kaustubh. Thanks for inviting me to one more podcast. So personalization is the practice of tailoring or modifying one or more aspects of product experience.
Okay.
And the idea here is you want to meet the unique needs, wishes, expectations, preferences of each user.
Right.
That's the ideal. You want to try to hit that benchmark. So that's personalization in a nutshell.
All right. So why do you think personalization matters in general?
Well, the answer for that is, as an owner of an app, whether you are in a product role or a marketing role, your KPIs are to generate the most value for the business.
Right.
So personalization is basically a really good means to that end.
Okay.
And why I'm saying that is, if you cannot build value for the users, you cannot capture that value. The old saying goes that first you have to create value and then you can capture it.
Okay.
So you've already built a product. So that already has some value because you've solved some problem or you're meeting some aspirations of your users. Now the question is, what's the relationship between the user and that product going to be like? That's the second piece of the puzzle. Right? So that is where personalization steps in and creates even more value, so that although you've built a product which is just common to all users, when the user begins to use the product, it doesn't feel like it's built for someone else.
Okay.
Right. So it creates that comfort factor and the fact that, it looks like this is for me.
Mm.
And that's a priceless thing to create, because once that emotion is built, you can really capture a lot of value from that. Users will come back to your products again and again. So that's the reason why it really matters.
Okay. And any specific reason why it matters so much right now, like in today's age?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is because of the high benchmark that many of the leading apps have already set.
Of course.
Right? Now, whichever country you are in, you have some really, really stellar apps that have done a remarkable job of somehow always, you know, delighting you, bringing you suggestions, bringing you product recommendations. When they send you notifications, it really feels like they know you. You get that feeling, this app seems like it knows me.
Correct.
So that, it has already been done, right? And these apps also happen to be widely used. So what I'm trying to get at is, personalization has already become familiar to lots of users. In that context, if people encounter an app which does not have personalization or which doesn't have good personalization, somehow it feels a bit off.
That is true.
So that's the reason. You are under pressure. Typical app owners are under pressure because the bar has been already set very high by the really amazing companies that have all these widely used apps.
Right. I always had this doubt in terms of, is it kind of related to customization in any way?
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
So in the early days, customization, although many people say it's not the same as personalization, I think the spirit, both of them carry the same spirit, which is how can you serve your users better? The
right.
only difference is that in customization, you put the controls in the hands of your users. You tell them, go to the settings menu and you can play around with the settings and make it your own. Suppose you want to change the background colors, or you want to set some background image, or you want to change some XYZ things, you can do that yourself. Okay, so the control was put in the hands of the users. That is customization.
Okay.
I think somewhere companies woke up to the truth that, okay, we've done the hygiene, customization, you can think of it like hygiene. But I think personalization is where can we also observe the users in action, and can we, on their behalf, make some changes to the product experiences to make it even better for the users or the customers.
Okay.
So you can think of it like customization is more of an explicit user-driven way to make something their own.
Mm.
And personalization is more like a very implicit company-driven initiative to bring that product even closer to the user. So that's really the contrast. But I think both of them serve the same final purpose, which is that it should really feel like it's meant for you.
Right, right. That's a great way to explain it, Casey. So how many forms do you think personalization can take?
Right, because if you think of our first question, the definition of personalization, we said one or more aspects of a digital product experience.
Mm-hmm.
What are those aspects? For instance, you can personalize the UI, the look and feel, right? You can personalize, how that would look like. Suppose you are in Alaska, right? Then you would have like a snow kind of a background. I'm just talking very spontaneously.
Yeah.
But that's a way to say, it's customized, it's personalized for somebody from Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
So you are from India, bright, sunny background. So this is a very simple way of understanding, how you can personalize the UI. This can extend to many elements of the UI, buttons, colors, etc. Even some things appearing on the UI or not appearing is a decision for personalization.
Right.
Then you can also think of personalizing content.
Okay.
And this is what Netflix and your Amazons of the world do. They customize, but they personalize the content for you.
Right.
The recommendations are very much personalized for you. Suggestions. If you search, what kind of product results should be shown to you are also personalized. Okay, so it's very deep.
Right.
So you can do content, you can do UI, you can do notifications and communications. You can personalize that aspect of the experience. You can even do it for rewards, offers, discounts, because what makes sense to you as a reward need not make sense to me. I may not find it valuable.
That is correct. Yeah.
Similarly, pricing. Sometimes there are cases where people have played around with the pricing elements. And also any offline experiences that you book through the app or the product.
Okay.
Even they can also be personalized because they will remember, okay, how did this person like it the last time, etc. So there's a lot of different things that you can play around with. And when you make changes to any of these to make it closer to the user, these are all the different forms it can take.
That's a very interesting point that you mentioned about pricing. Could you speak a little bit more about it? Or show us some example about it?
So I have read about this.
Yeah.
Sure, we all have experienced pricing in the form of dynamic pricing, in Uber.
Right.
My guess, although I'm not really sure, is that there could be some sort of personalization going on in the pricing. Although I have absolutely no evidence to talk about it.
Right.
But I do not think it is really that simple that, everybody in the area will see the same price.
Mm.
Maybe it's an interesting test both of us can do.
Actually, that makes sense. So you're basically saying that people in like the posh areas are kind of paying a surge or something like that?
I'm not sure it's that obvious.
Yeah.
But I'm saying even, let's say, the location where you and I are right now, we open our respective Uber apps and try booking a cab.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure that we'll be looking at the same price is what I'm saying.
It's very interesting.
So it means something is influencing the numbers to be different, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's not personalization.
That
I'm not claiming that it is, but I'm also not ready to dismiss the possibility.
Okay, that sounds interesting. So coming to my next question is, what is the best way to plan for personalization? As in, how does the company plan for it exactly?
Yeah, that's a million-dollar question. No, this is where the understanding of those companies, professionals around personalization, it really matters, right? Are they looking at it like a quick fix or a band-aid for users who are already suffering from some sort of experience-related issues? Or they are taking, which means that it makes it very tactical, right? In a sort of a way, because they are sort of reacting to some issues. The other way is that you can think of it like a strategic initiative. Okay. So this is one perspective. After you have decided this perspective, the plan goes something like this. First, you always think of the goal, right? Which metric or which KPI you want to influence through personalization.
Okay.
Generally, it's recommended to start with one goal and not throw too many in, because it gets harder and harder to simultaneously accomplish more than one goal. It's very complex. Suppose you say, okay, I want to optimize engagement, conversion, and retention. That's a very difficult thing to do out of the box. So I would recommend start with a goal, one goal. Then you also look at data collection, because if you don't know, if you go back to the idea of contrast between customization and personalization, personalization is more of a proactive, almost you can say gamble, right? It's a proactive thing, which means it depends upon observation and inference. So therefore, data collection becomes imperative. You need to be able to collect data required to be able to study your users and come to a conclusion. This is what makes sense probably for users. So for you to even come up with a hypothesis, you need enough data. So that's the second part. And here it can be from many different sources. It can be what is typically called your own captured data, right? First party data. It can also be data that you augment from other sources. So that's the data collection aspect. Then segmentation, you've used all that data, you begin to see some patterns in that data. So it's very good to segment first before you personalize. This is something that deserves to be called out explicitly. That segmentation must be done before you get into personalization, because otherwise you will not have a good way to think of it. It becomes too complex. Because imagine if I'm dealing with a million users.
Right.
And how can I now even begin to process that statement? Oh, I want a million people to personalize for. Right? It's a really, really complex thing. Maybe AI can do that really well. But if a planner begins to think of it, it makes sense to say, well, there are a million users, but they fall into these 8 or 7 different segments. Then I can get more specific about each segment.
Okay.
Right? So segmentation is very important. And then you, of course, have to decide, okay, which of these aspects of the experience I need to personalize. The ones that we spoke about, content, UI, etc. And now comes the big question. I've collected data, I've segmented them. So how do I turn this data into those variations or personalizations? Is it some sort of rule-driven thing where a human being is going and putting some rules in? Or is it I'm leaving it up to the wisdom of an algorithm or some sort of an AI and a tech stack to be able to figure out, okay, Kosov needs to see these recommendations, Casey needs to see these recommendations. So that could be algorithm, or it can be, some cases algorithms work better, in some cases I don't think algorithms will become overkill. And the last most important one is, because it's something that you are predicting your customers or your users will like, testing and learning, in other words, an iterative loop becomes absolutely imperative to toss in. Otherwise, you are going to trap yourself in your own thinking and you will be like needlessly convinced about what you thought is good for your users. So these are all the aspects that one must cover in a plan.
Okay. Alright, I think that sounds really complicated to me. So, but do you think personalization is actually that hard?
Well, it could get hard. Yes, sir. It doesn't have to be hard.
Mm.
But it could get hard Because there are two things that can make it hard, right? One is poor thinking, improper planning. Therefore, if you start with a foundation of not really thinking through the whole thing, you will end up iterating too much.
Okay.
And the point I want to make is, you might say, well, what is bad in iterating too much? The problem is, you will distance your users. Right? This is not an isolated iteration. It's an iteration with your users in it.
Okay.
So do you think you have got like infinite attempts at it? You don't, right? So therefore, because there is no luxury, you've got to be careful. So you can make it hard with your own poor thinking, is my point. And second is, it can also become hard if you try to suddenly do very complex things like build an algorithm and things like that out of the box. So you can make it easy by first doing the basics, right? And the quality of data also can make it hard or easy. If you've got rich, accurate data, it makes it easy. If you don't have data, again, you will start going into what could they like, what might they like. So I think you can make it hard for yourself. It doesn't have to be hard.
Right. So, in your experience, have you ever come across companies that have issue like problems with data, or have you ever faced that kind of an issue?
There are some simple situations I think most of us have faced it at one time or the other.
Yeah.
Which is about you receive emails which says hi, first name. I don't know if that has happened.
Of course. I think I get it every day.
Yeah. And I know I don't want to be too hard on those people.
Right.
I think it's one of those very popular or very common mistakes that people end up committing when they haven't checked for the completeness and accuracy of the data that they're going to use in personalization. Because the thing is, it's not humans who are personalizing. It's somewhere, some software which is taking, think of it like a, you know, if you have a copy in an email,
right.
Think of it like a paragraph with like certain fill in the blanks which have to be filled for each user.
Okay.
Right. So after hi, imagine a fill in the blank where Krishna comes for me and Kaustav comes for you. Mm. So the software has to pick up your name and insert it in that fill in the blank. Right. It's a simple way to think of personalization.
Yeah, correct.
Now, what if the person who has put that data into the system for the software to consume hasn't really done some checks on the data, right? Then you had it, right? It suddenly looks like instead of saying hi, Kaustav, it can become hi, first name. Or sometimes you know, you will say, you will hear things like hi, Kaustav, Trivedi, right? That also sounds a bit weird. If you want to say hi, generally it makes sense to just use the first name. But because they captured the first name in such a way that it wasn't done properly, they ended up actually capturing the full name where they should have only captured a first name.
Right, right.
These are the kind of small things that I want to call out. Of course, big ones are always there. You don't collect enough data about the preferences and things like that.
I mean, these are the minute things that one should actually like mandatorily perfect.
Yes, yes.
Definitely. Let's move on to the next question, which is what kind of risks are involved with personalization?
Actually, it's a very good follow-up question to what you just asked them.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be hard?
Mm.
See, the risk is in the fact that it's a delicate process. Right? It's a delicate process, therefore it requires you to do harder thinking, greater validation of your data, and make sure that you get it right in few iterations. Right? Because I want to again emphasize that you don't have the luxury of too many attempts.
Correct.
If you do that, you will alienate your users with all those attempts. Therefore, the risk actually is in making sure that you don't have too many attempts, and you have to be really aware of that, and you have to respect each iteration. This is one thing which can become a risk if you don't pay attention to it. Right? The second thing is personalization itself is a risk. As weird as it sounds, because you are proactively taking a bet on this is what my users will like. Right? Isn't there a risk involved in that very idea of deciding on the 100%. Behalf of somebody else.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, customization is very certain. But personalization, because you are doing it, it's risky. So the question is, how do you minimize the risk? Before you even think of how to minimize, first you have to appreciate the risk, right? So that is sort of a high-level answer, that you don't have the luxury of too many attempts, and if you are not willing to really put in the work, my advice is stay with the basics. Just call somebody by first name and stop there. Don't go beyond that, because it is going to be challenging.
Right.
Second is, of course, we already spoke about data quality being unverified data is always a risk. It can cause like loss of face, embarrassing emails or things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the different risks. Second is also, just because you think you know what your users like, you shouldn't get like too friendly, and like, especially when it comes to notifications, don't bombard them, don't send too many. Be very mindful of the limits, of the frequency limits that you have set for your users. Maybe a message in like 3 days or 4 days or whatever makes appropriate sense for your business. Like some businesses actually are okay, you know, users are okay if you send them a message a day, maybe. Right? But some businesses are not. That's not what the users expect.
Mm.
So then it seems a bit out of place.
Okay.
So you've got to keep all these different things in mind. I think finally what I'm trying to say is, because it is your decision to get something in the hands of the users, you've got to really, really be mindful. And that really is like a statement of risk.
Makes sense. So any specific hacks for, if you could just like let our audiences know about specific hacks for product and marketing teams specifically with regards to personalization?
Sure. I think I want to connect this question with risk minimization, because whatever you are doing ultimately should give you success and not failure.
Yeah, right.
Therefore, my suggestions, one of them is, somewhere just stick something all over the walls, you know, quality over quantity. Just really remind yourself as frequently as you can that each opportunity is really valuable, so don't blow it. Right? So that is the first sort of an attitude or mental prep you need to have. The hack that I have, and I have tried this before, I can tell you very confidently, is you can reduce the amount of guessing by asking people, by asking users. Right? So then you'll be like, Casey, but if it is proactively figured out, aren't you kind of cheating if you're asking users? Yeah, I'm not asking them everything. But where I'm very unsure and where I feel the risk is high to go wrong, I would rather, for a small duration, flip back into the mode of customization.
Alright.
Spirit of customization. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to create a new menu and tell them both set your preferences.
Mm.
I'm going to dynamically ask them something directly, which is in effect a short burst of customization in a larger exercise of personalization. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm a little uncomfortable with my own uncertainties around what you might like. So why do I have to be in an artificial, lonely castle? I can actually get out and ask you, right?
Yes.
So I've done that in some of the projects I've worked on. Actually, we've created like temporary interactions in the application, which are specifically designed to get that one or two or three pieces of data in a very quick, like maybe within 2 seconds.
Hmm.
So people won't even get to know that they have shared their more or less direct preference for something, because it's not appearing in any customization menu or anywhere, right?
Right.
So that's the way you can manage to collect more data and suddenly feel more confident about, oh, now I actually know it, right?
It basically reduces your guesswork.
It reduces your guesswork big time, right? And, you know, that is one of the reasons why, you know, in our platform, you know, Upshot.ai also, we tried providing those features, dynamic features, which you can bring up just for a second to know your users in a flash a little better.
Interesting.
And then again, that's it. Like, they just get something, they'll tell you what they want, it disappears, and now you know more. Imagine why more apps don't do that. Why do you have to artificially constrain yourself only to guess? It's not a game you're trying to win, or it's not like a crossword puzzle. Does it have to be that way? I don't believe so. Right? So one can always, this is a cool and simple hack, right? That for a second, flip into the mode of customization, get something specified by your users, reduce the guesswork, and then do better personalization.
Yeah.
That's a hack that I feel is worth $1 million.
Right. Interesting. So, could you share like a couple of examples? I mean, you don't need to name call, but I mean, if you are comfortable, would you like to share some examples of companies who have done personalization very well?
Yeah, one is, of course, you know, as long as they are not my clients, I can happily name them, right? Yes. One of them is Spotify does it really well. I think the Wrapped feature is amazing, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of other apps, high-class apps, have also sort of taken off on the similar lines.
Yeah.
I think Swiggy or Zomato also, I believe, they have done it. I know one of my clients actually called me and he said, Casey, have you seen this?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, can we do something like that?
Yeah.
So what we did is we have a capability to create like personalized slideshows, kind of like your when you go to WhatsApp status, you see those tiles on the top, right? You can flip between one sort of a picture and another picture and another picture and so on, like then 4 or 5 laid out in a straight line.
Yes.
And the whole thing begins again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of a thing is what Wrapped also does. You see how they've implemented it. It's like a set of things that you scroll through.
Yeah.
So we've taken similar ideas and we've done it for each individual user.
It's a lot,
but you know, we have I'm just stating it as a fact. I think it was a really cool thing that we did, and it was received really well by the client because we targeted about 100,000 users with personalized slideshows at the end of 1 year.
Wow.
Paid back to them how far they have come in the last 1 year. Now that actually serves as an excellent reminder. Maybe, you know, some of them are a little demotivated. We don't know whose frame of mind is like what, right?
Mm-hmm.
And especially when their job requires them to do the same things over and over again. I think showing them a sense of progress that, oh, you've come this far. It's crazy that you've come this far in 1 year, right? So suddenly it gives them a jolt of motivation. They feel good about the efforts. And therefore, they don't look at it in a way in which they were looking at it until now. Right? So we did that, and we also added an element of go share it. Go share it in your WhatsApp groups or go share it across other channels.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how it sort of caught on like fire.
Right.
In that whole user base.
Right.
So that's one thing which kind of addresses both the network. A brand like Spotify, and then how we got inspired and delivered something like that using Upshot for my park lines.
It's an interesting follow-up question on this is what kind of features did you leverage for something like this?
So we have a feature called Custom Actions.
Okay.
Which is basically roll your own kind of thing, right? You get to define everything in what should appear to the user. And then we basically customize things, we personalize things, and we showcase it to each user at the right time in their journey.
Interesting. Right.
It can be brought up by our SDK according to certain rules,
okay.
Or it can be triggered into your visual feed by something that you do as a user. Like you go click a new button somewhere. Maybe there is a banner being put on the app's landing page that, hey, you know, check out your 1 year's journey. And the user gets curious and taps on it, and they get the slideshow displayed to them. Right? So that's using a lot of data about each of these users.
Mm-hmm.
It was a close cooperation with the project that we did. And this whole thing was accomplished in about 2 weeks.
That's actually great.
Yeah, it is. I mean, for a complexity of, you know, literally personalizing it for each user, for 100,000 users, I think we did a pretty good job. A lot of good, great cooperation with the client.
Right.
So another example for personalization I want to speak about is for a client who is in the space of helping their users understand personal finance management better. So they are a content heavy, or a content rich app.
Okay.
A content rich app. And the challenge here is that it's a complex topic. And people are at various levels of knowledge or expertise. Right? Some of us are very interested in finance and how to manage our money better, etc. But others are really not there yet. So it became very important to be able to judge or gauge preferences as well as the level of knowledge. Correct? Otherwise, it's very easy that either I'm going to bore you by telling you what you know, or I'm going to overwhelm you by telling you things that you may not be ready for.
Okay.
So to find that sweet spot, we again did an exercise, personalization exercise, where, you know, over a period of about 1 week, because it has good DAU, so we were able to gather whatever data we wanted in about a week's time. And after that, when we began to share the content, the response was very good, much better than previous.
Right.
So that is another example. I mean, I can go on if you feel like asking me.
No.
Sum it up. Can you tell us one last example with a thought process of gamification involved?
Yeah. So that word, right? I mean, gamification. I know some people don't like it. Some people like it too much. Some are curious about it. But just I want to say that it's like a word substitute for something like, can you do this creatively? Can you do it in a way not to bore your users? Or can you do it in a way that you can draw them in? Right. So now if you think of it in that way, reject the word.
Okay.
Think of the spirit. We certainly have done that in actually a D2C e-commerce sort of an app.
Yes.
Where, you know, this client is from the US and they are a very, very well-known client. I cannot name them. But what we did there was, because they sell certain types of you know, player cards or stats kind of cards.
Okay.
Again, it became imperative for us to know the tastes users, right? There are millions of them. So we created certain gamified scenarios where people participated and played. Okay. The result of that play was knowledge of users, knowledge of how much they knew about the products, what is their interest level, do they have any strong reservations or feelings about certain products, positive or negative. There were many things that we were able to learn by doing that activity. And as a result, we were able to really, really segment them better.
Okay.
And detect like lots of smaller segments that are more passionate, larger segments that are kind of, you know, fence-sitting and so on. And we were able to interact with them on their terms. That was also a very satisfying experience. Although that was a long drawn exercise.
I'm sure.
Yeah. It was another example also I can give from the Indian context was for a client, we collected information on what type of rewards they like. They And it was a very simple one. This is one of those illustrations where you can flip into the customization mode a little bit, ask people directly, and then go back into personalization and make some decisions. Okay, if you are interested in discount coupons, what kind of things, what kind of discount coupons can I create for you?
Okay.
And things like that. So we did that also. I think every project that we are working on, for sure, I can tell you that we get into personalization. For sure.
I mean, that's very important, right?
It's the order of the day.
Of course. Right. So moving on to our last question, which would be any tips or hacks that you have for people who are starting off their personalization journey?
Sure. Hacks, probably not.
Okay.
Tips, certainly. First is, and these are just a restatement of what I've said earlier in this discussion. First is, be prepared to go the distance. In other words, treat personalization like a strategic initiative.
Okay.
Okay. Just be prepared mentally. It requires, if it requires you to discuss internally with multiple stakeholders, do that. Don't just make it like a solo initiative of your own, just to prove a point or something like that, because it can easily be scuttled by lack of cooperation or simply not understanding, like lack of understanding or lack of why are we doing this anyways. That shouldn't come, that kind of response shouldn't come. So it's very important to treat it like a strategic initiative and involve multiple stakeholders first, right? Second is, start small, do the basic things first. Do some small personalization attempts, you know, with your notifications, your communications, and slowly get bolder, okay? Get more courageous, take bigger bets,
right,
deeper bets. And I'm sure you'll get there. It's a journey for sure. And I think that is the biggest tip. It's a journey. So don't expect it to just be like over in like a week or something. It's a marathon, it's not a sprint.
Right. So thank you so much. That's a very interesting session that you had today.
Thanks.
I'm sure our listeners got a lot of ideas and tips to start their journey. So thank you so much for joining, Casey. I hope to see you again very soon with another topic.
Sure. So thanks for inviting me.
Thank you so
much.
It's
one of my favorite topics, so I'm happy to share.
Yeah. Thank you so much.